これがメンターだ。
That I always stress with people that I'm teaching meditation to
is that you have to learn how to smile. Sometimes some of my friends are real slow learners.
Nobody here, I'm sure.
But what does a smile do? A smile starts your mind to be uplifted and wholesome. And then you come back to your object of meditation, whatever that happens to be, if it's loving kindness, or if it's mindfulness of breathing, or repeating the name of the Buddha over and over again. You come back to that, and you stay with that as long as you can, without being distracted. Now, dependent origination is a process of how mind's attention actually works. When you start learning meditation, you are given an object of meditation, something that you keep your mind on, loving kindness. You keep your mind on the feeling of loving kindness, and then making a wish and feeling that wish. Every time your mind gets distracted, that means your mind is with the loving kindness and now it's thinking about this or that. Okay, that distraction happened in a particular way. Your mind didn't just all of a sudden jump over here and start thinking about this or that. It happened because there's a feeling that arose, there's some craving, and then the thoughts start in your habitual tendency of the thoughts. So, when you're practicing meditation and your mind gets distracted, you notice that your mind is distracted. You're not with the object of meditation anymore. You let go of the distraction. The content of the thoughts doesn't matter. The process is what we're trying to see. This is one of the differences between psychology and what the Buddha taught. With psychology, you're more into what the content of the thoughts is. But with Buddhism, we're more interested in how the process works. Okay. So, when your mind is distracted, you recognize that your mind is not with your object of meditation anymore. You allow those thoughts to be there, but you don't keep your attention on them anymore. Now you notice there's tension and tightness in your head, in your mind. I get to pull my brain out now. Okay, we have a brain. And the brain is made up of two different sections, two lobes. There's a membrane that goes around each lobe. The membrane that goes around each lobe in the middle is held together, it's tight. And it's held together by craving, tightness, tension. Every time you have a thought that arises in your mind, your mind, that membrane contracts a little bit. Okay? Now, when you see that your mind is thinking and you let go of the thought, and now you relax, you'll feel an expansion that happens in your head. You let go of the tension caused by the thinking. When you let go of that, at that time, your mind is very clear. Your mind is very bright. And there are no thoughts. And you bring that mind, with a smile, back to your object of meditation. So you're starting to purify your mind. Now the nature of a distraction is it's not going to go away right away. So you're going to be with your object of meditation sometimes for 5 or 10 seconds before your mind gets distracted again. What we're trying to show you with the Buddha's meditation is how that happened. How did your mind go from being here to over there? So, what you learn as you let it be and relax and smile and come back to your object of meditation, as you do that over and over again, you start to see that this is part of a process. And right before your mind gets distracted and you've gone away for a minute or two, right before then, you'll notice that there was something else that came up. As you become more familiar with how this process works, you start to see these things a little bit. So you relax and let it be, smile and come back to your object of meditation, and your mind gets distracted again. Now this time, instead of letting it get caught and going for however long it's going to go, you notice this little thing and you relax right then. And you'll notice that your mind is not distracted for as long a period of time. And you've relaxed, now you smile, now you come back to your object of meditation. You start staying on your object of meditation for longer and longer periods of time. And the length of time that you're distracted becomes less and less. Now let's say that something happened at the start of the day. Somebody came up to you and they gave you their anger. And you didn't like that, so you took their anger as yours and you gave your anger back to them. And you fought with them. And you said things at the same time that somebody else said things. So you didn't hear what they said, but you know what you said. Okay, now they go away. What happens in your mind? You play this whole scenario over again. I said this and they said that. I should have said this to them. And I'm right and they're wrong. And then, just like it's on a tape deck, it happens again. And it keeps happening at different times during the day. Now, when you're thinking about I'm right and he's wrong, and you get in a car, are you driving? No. You're thinking, how do accidents occur? Because you're not paying attention in the present moment to what you're doing while you do it. Now what this meditation does is it teaches you to be more aware of what is happening in your mind in the present moment. You see that your mind is distracted, you let go of the distraction, you relax, you smile, and you come back to driving the car, being alert. Anytime you have repeat thoughts, there is an attachment there. What is the attachment? These thoughts, these feelings, they're mine. This is who I am. That's a wrong belief. Did you sit while you're getting in your car and say, you know, I'm going to get mad at that guy again? Did you ask that to come up? No, it came up because the conditions were right for it to come up because of that attachment. Can you make it go away? No. You can't control it. The more you try to control a feeling with your thoughts, the bigger and more intense the feeling becomes. Stress, same thing. Painful feeling arises. I don't like that feeling. I have a story about why I feel that way. My habitual tendency is to try to control the feeling with the thoughts. And it doesn't work. Why? Because we're made up of five different things. This psychophysical process has five things. We have a physical body. We have feeling. Feeling is pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. It doesn't have anything to do with emotion. You have perception. Perception is the part of the mind that names things, and it also has memory in it. So you look at this and your mind says, cup. Perception is a part of the mind that said that. You have thoughts, you have consciousness. When a painful feeling arises, the first thing we try to do is think the feeling. But feelings are one thing, and thoughts are something else. The two never meet. We cause ourselves immeasurable amounts of pain and suffering because we try to control our feelings with our thoughts. Anger comes up. Dissatisfaction comes up. Sadness comes up. Anxiety comes up. First thing we try to do is think it away. And that makes it bigger. It makes it more intense. Why? Because you're taking those feelings and you're trying to personalize the feelings with your thoughts. You're taking those feelings and you're saying, this is me. This is who I am. When in fact, this is part of an impersonal process. By impersonal, I mean it arises by itself. You don't ask anger to come up. It comes up because conditions are right for it to arise. What you do with what arises in the present moment dictates what happens in the future. This is karma. If you take this present moment and you try to control the present moment with your thoughts, you can look forward to having a lot of suffering. So much so that all of a sudden you got to go to the doctor and give you some pills so you can get some relief. But when you start learning how this process works, you're able to catch it sooner and sooner. And the suffering becomes less and less. So when a feeling arises, the first thing you notice is you're starting to think about the feeling and that story about it. Now the content of the story is not important. The fact that you're thinking about it is what's important right now. So you let go of the thought. You let the thought be there by itself, but you don't keep your attention on it. You relax the tension and tightness caused by that thought. You bring up something wholesome. You smile. you come back to your object of meditation, whatever that happens to be in the present moment. And you stay with that as long as you can. Now the thing is, when we have a strong attachment to depression, anxiety, stress, whatever you want to call it, your mind is going to bounce back to it. This is one of the things that the Buddha said. What we think and ponder on, that's the inclination of your mind. You think and ponder on stress, your mind is going to incline towards stress. You think and ponder on depression, your mind is going to incline towards depression. You think and ponder on happiness, your mind is going to be inclined towards happiness. This stuff doesn't happen overnight. Letting go of old habitual tendencies takes a lot of work. But it is worth it. Now, you've heard me discuss a little bit about smiling. Smiling is absolutely necessary for developing a happy mind. Gotta smile. Gotta smile whether you feel like it or not. The more you smile, the more uplifted your mind becomes. The more uplifted your mind becomes, the more alert your mindfulness becomes. And it's real easy to see when your mind starts to get pulled down and attachments start to happen. The more you can smile into what you're doing in the present moment, the clearer your mind becomes. This isn't a maybe. I had a student that he was very depressive and he wanted to do meditation. So I told him that he didn't want him to practice any meditation. I wanted him to smile for 1 week. And when he couldn't smile, I wanted him to laugh. Now, this sounds really dumb. It sounds stupid. It's too easy. It's not easy. It's hard to smile all the time. But after a week, he wrote back and he said, "I really took what you said to heart and I tried it and this is what happened in my mind. I always used to walk around from one place to another in a mental haze. I was thinking about this and thinking about that. I didn't even know I was talking. And what happened was I started noticing that my posture started to be better and I started looking around. And when I looked around and I noticed people were starting to smile back and they never smile at me. And after a couple of days of them seeing me smile, they started coming up and talking to me and getting closer and closer while they were talking. That never happened before. I asked him about his mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Mindfulness is remembering to observe how mind's attention moves from one thing to another. Remembering to observe. I asked him how his mindfulness was. He said, "My mindfulness is so sharp right now. It's just unbelievable." That's just from smiling. Now the laughing, what the laughing does, and this is a major part of the process, is when you laugh at your mind for being so dumb that it's getting caught up in something, you're not caught. not in it anymore. When you laugh at yourself for being angry, you go from, I'm mad and I don't like this, to, it's only this anger. Do I need to carry that around with me? Let it go. Laughter changes your perspective from I am that to it's only that. So the more you can smile and the more you can laugh, the more joy starts to arise, and joy is an uplifting feeling. Now there's five different kinds of joy. The first kind of joy is you get a little joy when you see something, a sunset or something real special, and it's like little goosebumps that go all over. That's the first kind of joy. The second kind of joy is like a flash of lightning. It's a joy, it's a very pleasant feeling. It's real intense, but it's there and it's gone. The next kind of joy is like standing in the ocean and you have these waves of joy come over you. It's wave after wave. Now these three kinds of joy will arise for anybody at any time, when the conditions are right. The next two kinds of joy only arise through mental development. The next kind of joy is called uplifting joy. The uplifting joy, when that arises, you feel very light in your body, you feel very light in your mind, and you feel happy, you're gonna smile. The last kind of joy is the strongest kind of joy. It's called all-pervading joy. And this is a kind of joy that arises and every cell in your body is going whoopee. Now all of these different kinds of joy, I won't say all of the kinds of joy, but the uplifting joy and the all-pervading joy, you'll feel joyful throughout your body. One is a very light feeling, the other one is a very more calm kind of joy. Now, let's say you have a hindrance arise sometime during the day. You get angry at somebody, you get sad because something happens, you feel stressed out because things didn't work out the way you wanted. Now, when your mindfulness is good, you'll be able to see that your mind is doing that. It's moving away from the present moment to this distraction. And you let go of the distraction and you relax, you smile, come back to what you're doing in the present moment. If you're practicing loving kindness, you come back to smiling. Okay? Smile all the time. And your mind goes back to that. And you see that and you let it be and you relax and you smile and you come back smiling some more and giving that smile away. Now what happens over a period of time is that distraction, that hindrance, starts to get weaker and weaker and weaker. Why? Because you're starting to see how this process of mind's attention moving from one thing to another is occurring. Eventually, you let go of that hindrance and you feel immediate relief. Right after that immediate relief, you feel this joy. And this joy is very happy feeling. And you walk around. this my whole life. This is really good stuff. Now, always after this joy arises, your mind becomes very tranquil. And you feel more comfortable in your mind and in your body than you've ever felt before. This is what the Buddha called happiness. And your mind stays with what you're doing very easily. You say you're smiling, it stays with that happy feeling very easily. You might have a distracting thought, you'll notice it very quickly. You can let it go and relax and come back to it. Now, what I just described to you was the first level of understanding. That's the candy you get when you let go of a distraction, you let go of the sadness, the emotional stuff, whatever it happens to be, the catch of the day. In Pali, they call it jhana. Most people misunderstand what jhana means when they've been practicing meditation. And they think it means extreme one-pointedness of mind or absorption. And that's not what jhana is. It's a level of your understanding. Now, when you let go of the hindrance, and you get this experience, you can't want it to happen again. Because if you try to make it happen again, it won't occur. You can't make anything happen. Put too much energy in it, and you try to make it happen and it doesn't happen, so you put more energy in it and you get more and more restless, and then you say, well, this stuff doesn't work. But because of not getting involved with that hindrance, of which there are five, there's five hindrances. You have lust. You have the greedy mind, I want it. You have hatred or aversion, I don't want to find it. You have sleepiness and dullness. You have restlessness and anxiety. You have doubt. The doubt is whether you're doing the practice correctly or not. These five things are called hindrances. And they're called hindrances because when they arise, they stop you from being aware of what's happening in the present moment. They completely take you out of the present moment. Knowing how the process works and seeing that you can actually start to recognize and let go of the things that always used to catch you starts giving you a lot more self-confidence. Now, you are teaching yourself how mind's attention moves. And you're teaching yourself how to let go of these attachments. I don't teach you. I'm a guide. I'm not a teacher. You're teaching yourself by being able to recognize how the process works. And the fastest way, by far, to overcome any hindrance, I don't care if it's fear, anxiety, depression, anger, the fastest way to overcome any hindrance is by laughing. Sounds dumb. There was a man that was working up by where we live. He's in charge of the project. And he had 10 or 12 laborers, carpenter type, kind of burly guys that were angry about something, and they were going to go talk to him. And he didn't even let them in the office. He met them at the door, and they said, "We got to talk to you." And he started laughing out loud. And he laughed for about a minute. And they thought, boy, this is really weird. And then he said to them, "You got to laugh with me." And he started laughing again. And he said, "Come on, laugh." And he got them to laugh. And after that, he said, "Okay, now let's go in and discuss what the problem is." Now, he took their anger and their dissatisfaction, and he changed it in less than a minute just by laughing. This is one of the things that the Buddha said, that this is immediately effective when you practice it. The more you develop a mind that reflects on happiness, the more happiness will come into your life. The more you develop a mind that is smiling, the more smiles will come into your life. That's how the inclination of your mind works. Change old habits, develop new habits. Change old habits of "I always get mad when this happens" to laughing about it because there I go being caught again. And it is funny. And I've had some students that they were really caught about something. And they come up and they start complaining to me. And I said, "Well, just laugh about it. It's not funny." And when they say that, of course it makes me laugh. Because it really is funny. Because of the attachment there is. Look at how much you're attached. So I start laughing, and then they get grumbly, and then they start laughing along with me, and then everything is fine. How do you let go of that tight mental hold that causes so much suffering? You learn to smile, and you learn to laugh. Now there's three parts to meditation. The first part of meditation is practicing your generosity. You practice your generosity by body, speech, and mind. You say things that make other people happy and make them smile. You do things that make other people happy and make them smile. You keep happy thoughts in your mind. Do you want the world to be a peaceful place? Do you want the world to be a paradise? Then it's your responsibility to make it that way. You affect the world around you, whether you want to affect it positively or negatively. That's your choice. You want to walk around grumbling and make it into a hell realm? You can do that. You want to make it a happy place, a peaceful place? You can do that. It takes effort. Now, there's four kinds of effort. The recognizing when you have an unwholesome mind. The letting go of that unwholesome mind. caused by that. Smiling and keeping your smiling going. If you want to experiment with this, I did. I didn't believe anything that my teachers told me, and I don't want you to believe me. What do you think of that? I decided that they talked to me about when you smile, everybody smiles back at you. I wanted to see whether that was really true. So I went to a shopping center and I walked around with a sour face. And I heard people that were complaining. I heard people that they were grumpy. And I looked around. Nobody was smiling. So I thought, well, I know what it's like to make it unhappy. So I went and I sat on a bench. And I closed my eyes and I started smiling and I started giving that smile to everybody around me. And after a couple of minutes, I started feeling eyes staring at me. You know that feeling when somebody behind you staring at you, you feel like turning around and say, what are you looking at? And I opened up my eyes and there was 12 complete strangers standing around smiling because that's what I was doing. And I went, yep, this works. And it turns out to be a fun game. One of the things that we kind of forget is that life doesn't have to be serious. Life is supposed to be fun. Now, when you think of the right effort, letting go of the unwholesome and relaxing and bringing up the wholesome, that means fun. That means helping other people smile and be happy. Don't say things that are going to cause an upset. Say things that are going to make you and everybody else around you smile. Turn it into a habit. The more you can give away your smile and your happy feeling, the more you affect the world around you in a positive way. I used to go to the hospital very often when I was in Asia. People were continually asking me to go to the hospital and visit people that were very sick. They were dying of this or that. Always before I walked into the room, I would stop and I would have this thought. I don't care what I run into in the room. I don't care if they have immeasurable pain. I don't care if they're sad. I don't care. Whatever they are experiencing, it's okay for them to experience it.
It'll make you laugh.
But I was going to be happy.
Yeah.
As soon as I walked in the room, whatever their experience was, I allowed them the space to feel that without trying to take away their pain. That's the definition of compassion. Allowing another person the space to experience their own pain and love them unconditionally. Always by the time I was in the room and got ready to leave, of course they were thanking me for coming and that sort of thing, that they would say, I really feel better now. And I would get them to laugh. One day, this man I went to see, I was seeing him every other day or so, He was really serious when I walked in the room. And he said to everybody else in the room, "You have to go out. I need to talk to Reverend Wright by myself." So they left, and I said, "What's happening?" And he said, "The doctor told me that I have to make out my will and that I'm terminal." And I started laughing, and I said, "I'm terminal too. So's everybody else. It's okay to be terminal. No problem." And he started laughing, and he saw how he was causing himself a lot of pain by taking this so seriously. Now, a couple weeks later, he did die. But he died with a smile on his lips. So, it's all a matter of perspective. Now, there's this thing called the Eightfold Path in Buddhism. And it's eight separate things that are put together to make the path easy to walk. One of these things is called, they call it right thought, and I really don't like that definition. And I call it harmonious imaging. What kind of image do you hold in your mind? I'm always broke. I'm always late. I never get this. It never happens for me that way. What kind of image are you holding in your mind that you're manifesting for yourself? You have to learn how to change your image by practicing right effort. If you start imaging people being happy and being prosperous and having fun, then you're going to start manifesting that for yourself, and you become the example for other people. And that's how you practice your generosity. Isn't that odd? Nobody ever thinks of generosity in these terms. Uh-oh, the monk's talking about generosity. I better hold my pocketbook. It's not like that. You can give physical things. It always makes me happy to share food with somebody else, particularly if it's really good. That's the first part of what meditation is. The second part of meditation is keeping your precepts and keeping them very closely. What are the precepts? Don't kill or harm living beings on purpose. I don't care if it's a mosquito or a cockroach or an ant. Don't kill or harm living beings on purpose. Don't take anything that's not given. Don't have any wrong sexual activity. Wrong sexual activity means sexual activity with another person's mate, or if you have a mate, sexual activity with anyone else. Sexual activity with someone that's too young, still under the care of their guardians, or sexual activity for giving money, prostitution. Okay, that's wrong sexual activity. Basically, it comes down to this. Any sexual activity that you have that causes anyone else to have aversion in their mind, don't do that. The next precept is the tough one. Don't tell lies. Don't use the kind of language that splits people apart. Use language that brings people together. Don't curse. Why? When you curse, what kind of mind do you have at that time? And it's shocking the amount of cursing that's happening on radio and television these days. And just everybody just normally talking. It's really shocking to hear all of the cursing that's going on, and people think it's okay, and it's not. It causes your mind to have upset in it. It causes unwholesome states to arise. Let go of that. And don't gossip. That means make up stories about people that you're not around, that aren't around you, let's put it that way. Don't take any drugs or alcohol. Now, drugs or alcohol means beer, wine, whiskey, pot, what's some of the other drugs? I mean, heroin, cocaine, all of those kinds of things. But if your doctor gives you some medicine for a very specific reason, you can take that. Now, if you keep these five precepts, you've only got five. I've got 227. But you've only got five precepts to keep. When you keep these precepts without breaking them, your meditation will take off so fast you won't even believe it. So this is the second part of what meditation is. So you can see that this is not just about sitting like a Buddha image. This is about living. This is about real life. Meditation is living. Living is the kind of meditation when you take it that way. You have to be serious with it, but be seriously happy with it. If you happen to break a precept for whatever reason, this is not a guilt trip religion that we're talking about here. Forgive yourself for making a mistake. Take the precepts again, right then. I undertake to keep the precept to abstain from killing or harming living beings on purpose. I undertake the precept to abstain from taking what is not given. I undertake the precept to abstain from wrong sexual activity. I undertake the precept to abstain from telling lies and harsh speech. I undertake the precept to abstain from taking drugs and alcohol. And take that with the determination that I will not break that precept again. You'll be surprised when you do this for a period of time how good your meditation becomes. You sit down for your quiet time meditation and your mind just becomes completely clear. You don't have a lot of distractions. You start seeing how process works. And it leads to a mind that is balanced all of the time. So you don't have the high highs and the low lows anymore. Life starts to be like little waves. You're still going to go through some tough stuff. I mean, just, so it's almost 2 months ago, that's about 6 weeks ago, my mother died. That was not a pleasurable experience. There was sadness, and it was okay for the sadness to be there. It had to be okay because that was the truth. Whatever arises in the present moment is the truth. Anytime you try to fight with the truth, anytime you try to stop the truth from happening, anytime you try to change the truth, you can look forward to suffering. But the truth is, you can be sitting there and you can be completely at ease, and all of a sudden your mindfulness slips, anger comes up. You're sitting there being angry because of something that happened whenever. Well, what are you going to do with that when it arises? You have a choice. You can try to think the anger away. You can try to force the anger away. You can try to suppress the anger with your thinking. But that only leads to more suffering. What you do with anger when it arises, allow it to be there, relax. Smile, come back and keep your smile going. The more you smile during the day, the more you have joy arising. The more you have joy arising, the more you affect the world around you in a positive way. And keeping your precepts very closely means that your mind will become peaceful and quiet during your daily activities. You're not going to have so many hindrances arising. You're not going to have the memory that something happened yesterday and I'm still mad about it. You let that go. This is not suppressing anything. This is learning how to lovingly accept the present moment without resistance. Let it be there. Don't keep your attention on it. Relax. Bring up something wholesome and stay with that wholesome. You bounce back and forth for a little while, fine. Every time you let go of a distraction and relax and smile and come back to smiling or to your object of meditation, whatever it happens to be, every time you do that, that improves your mindfulness. You become more alert as to what is happening in the present moment. You start seeing how your mind jumps from one thing to another to another. And you start letting go of that. And what's the advantage of that? Your mind starts eventually, over a period of time, to become calm. And you stop thinking about yesterday. You stop thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. You're starting to observe what's happening right now. And when you do that, you start getting into your intuition. Your intuition is a quiet little voice that quite often is drowned out because we're thinking about this and thinking about that so much of the time. But when you pay attention to your intuition, you start doing things that are uplifting naturally. The more you smile, the easier it is to let go of things that pull your mind down and make you unhappy. The more you laugh, the more balance you have in your life. And don't believe me. Do it. And see how it works. There was a guy that he worked at a prison for the criminally insane. He was a psychologist in Hawaii. He never saw any of the inmates, but when anybody went in to deal with the inmates, they always walked with their back to the wall because they didn't want to get attacked. Really a rough place. And what he did was he would take a picture of an inmate and he would start forgiving that inmate for not understanding and sending him loving kindness. And he did that with every inmate. And over a period of about 2 years, there wasn't any need for that to be anymore. They didn't have, they stopped taking the heavy drugs, they stopped having to chain them up all the time. They started acting like normal people because he held an image of them that was uplifting and happy. This is what the Buddha taught. Learn how to hold an image of everybody else around you that's uplifted and happy, and give that happy feeling to everybody that you see. And when you forget, you can't criticize yourself. Just start over again. Okay? No fair criticizing yourself. Oh, yeah. 10 minutes, anyway. So, I've been talking for a while. Do you have any questions?
You have some kind of picture of the video.
Well, I showed you this brain, right?
Look, any thoughts? You and your wife on it. It looks a video. You feel something weird.
Then relax. No, what you're used to doing is thinking, right? You got that deep line there. That's your thinking line. There's tension right there because of that. Relax. Let that be. Yeah. But the more you practice, the easier it becomes. This is simple. I mean, just smile and laugh. Keep it going all the time. But it's not easy. It's hard, especially when you have an attachment. I don't like this. That guy cut me off. That guy said something I didn't like. Grrr. It's hard to smile into that. But the more you practice, the easier it becomes.
How do you get some information about different cognition? You said the feelings arise first. Why?
A feeling always arises first.
What's the cause for that? You said
the cause of that. In order to see, you have to have a good working eye. And there has to be color and form. When the good working eye hits color and form, eye consciousness arises. The meeting of these three things is called eye contact. With eye contact as condition, eye feeling arises. With eye feeling as condition, I craving arises. With I craving as condition, clinging arises. With clinging as condition, habitual tendency arises, and so on. This is how it works. Why does it work that way? I don't know. Why does nature act the way that it does? Because this is a natural thing to be able to see. And when you start actually practicing some meditation and you start smiling more, you'll start noticing these things because you're starting to teach yourself how the process works.
You have been closing eyes.
It doesn't matter.
But still, you get the next thought, the next thought.
Doesn't matter. See, people have this idea that when you sit in meditation, you're supposed to have clear your mind, don't have any thoughts. Well, that's not realistic. You're going to have thoughts, and and it's okay to have thoughts. It has to be okay because that's true. What are you doing with the truth? You allow the truth to be there, you let it be, you relax, you smile, you come back to your object of meditation. Then you go back and you get distracted again. It's funny when I give a retreat, because people will come and they'll say, I had a really good meditation today. I say, oh, okay, tell me about it. Oh, my mind is so peaceful and quiet. And I kind of go, oh, okay. And then they'll come in the next day and they'll say, yeah, my meditation was absolutely terrible. My mind was all over the place. Oh, really? Tell me about it. Were you able to see those thoughts and let it be and relax and smile and come back? Yeah, but it was really, really hard. Ah, good meditation, huh? I'm going to tell a story. He was doing a retreat when we were up in Missouri, up in a mountain, with a bunch of other people who were doing the retreat, and they were starting to try too hard. So in the morning, we had our first sit, and right before we got up and went to breakfast, I said, today I don't want you to meditate at all. Today is a play day. Now the only thing that you have to do is you have to smile, and every time you see your mind getting serious, you have to laugh. And I sent them on their way. I didn't care what they did. So they come into the meditation hall for the Dhamma talk in the evening. And everybody is glowing, and they're really smiling, and they're really feeling good. And I said, well, how'd your meditation go today? And they said, oh, we didn't meditate. We had fun. And I said, did you smile a lot? Yeah, I smiled a lot. Every time your mind got serious, did you laugh? Oh yeah, good meditation, wasn't it? I'm a sneaky monk. But that gives you the idea, this is the way we want to actually practice. We want to practice with a light mind. We want to practice in a happy way. Remember, what you think and ponder on, that's the inclination of your mind. So if you make your life fun by making up your mind and saying, today is a play day, well, I gotta go to work. So what? I can play while I'm working. I can have fun while I'm working. I can smile. I can laugh. And I can give it away. You make up your mind, today is gonna be a fun day. And it will be. And then there's those days that you forget, and everything you try to do doesn't work. I was going to go and catch the bus, and the bus left before I got there, and I had to walk, and I had to do this, and nothing worked today. When you laugh at how hard it is sometimes, all of a sudden it's not hard anymore. When you laugh at how you're taking all of this stuff and grumbling and and you laugh with yourself, it changes. It makes it easier. It takes that gray cloud away from you. This isn't maybe. Try it. See for yourself. It's just making the determination, today's going to be a fun day. I'm going to have a great time today. And then, make it a great time by being happy. That's the Buddha's teaching. The Buddha said, we're the happy ones. So, let's prove it right.
Okay. I want to ask you something.
Okay.
Sometimes we see some crazy or foolish man. Someone is always crying. Someone is laughing. What is the reason? Some crazy or foolish man. There are different kinds. Someone is crying. All day they crying because they maybe they are very suffering. But the other side, they are always laughing.
Is that crazy to be always be laughing?
Yes, always laughing.
Why?
By that one, they are happy or not? They are laughing, but the other side, they are crying. Someone is crying, someone is laughing. And
he doesn't mean that.
Huh?
He doesn't mean that kind.
That's
the person that's trying to.
And we try to laugh. But we will become crazy.
No.
No.
It doesn't happen that way. This is not uncontrolled laughter. It is controlled laughter.
We control our laughter.
We control the laughter. We have to. If you get into uncontrolled laughter, you have tears coming down. That takes away all of your peace and calm of mind. Uncontrolled laughter is an enemy of loving kindness. That's a direct enemy.
But when you see
if you smile when you are sad, the sadness will go away very quickly. Even if you don't feel like smiling, you still smile. I used to tell people, here is a mirror, you look at your face and you smile. And every time you see you're not smiling, you need to smile more. And always within 1 or 2 minutes, people become happy because of smiling.
It like Gosananda survived what he went through. You know Gosananda?
Gosananda?
He was a Cambodian monk. He was very famous in Cambodia. In Cambodia, they tortured him when Pol Pot was... They took him on a chain link fence. They made him lie down on the chain link fence and then nailed to the ceiling and left him there for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. A lot of pain. He smiled. He smiled. He told everyone around him not to hate these people. He was being tortured. He had major... But he smiled. When you smile, the pain, natural painkiller in your body goes into your body and the pain is not so intense. When you hate, it stops the pain killer in your body and it makes the pain more intense, much worse.
I have a question regarding work. Like you said, that meditation is always, you can do always. In work, you're thinking about something, right?
I didn't hear you.
So I'm trying to find out if how exactly we can practice meditation all day long. All day long.
Can you smile?
By smiling, like while you're working, like I'm trying to
Can you smile?
Maybe not.
Take a mirror and put it on your desk and look at yourself every now and then to see whether you're smiling and then start smiling.
But my question is like regarding thoughts. We are trying to generate thoughts at this moment, right? For say you're trying to solve something or trying to work something.
When you have fun doing it instead of having dissatisfaction, it makes the job easier And when you smile while you're doing it, it makes the job easier. I know, you work at Microsoft, everybody is grumpy at Microsoft.
And how you are controlling your thoughts, I mean, like you are thinking and you are kind of keep on increasing.
So, can't you smile?
Yeah, you can smile.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then do that.
I'm not saying you can't smile.
But you start your project by making it fun to do. Not making it a job that you have to do, but making it a fun job. You have to solve a problem. Turn the problem into a game, and you will become very efficient at solving problems. So you smile, you make it into a game.
You didn't really go over the 6 hours like going into another talk, but the 6 hours are in here. He talked about right effort. He talked about when something unwholesome comes up in your mind to let it go, and then to bring up something wholesome and keep it going.
Oh, okay, let me say something here. When you have something that you're working on, and all of a sudden a distracting thought takes you and you start thinking about something else.
I'm not referring to that.
I am.
Okay.
You're not being efficient and you're wasting time. And then you start feeling stress and pressure because you're not working on what you're, quote, supposed to be working on. And then you develop anxiety and you develop dislike or aversion. So, when your mind gets distracted away from what you're doing, you have to be able to recognize that, let it go, no matter how important you think it's supposed to be, it's not. It's just a restless mind. Relax the tightness, smile, come back to what you're doing. Okay, now I taught students in Kuala Lumpur. They were Chinese students. At the university they had one test a year. They either passed the year or they failed. They put a lot of pressure on themselves, studying constantly. They weren't having any fun. They weren't really learning this stuff because they were worrying about what was going to happen when the test arrived. They came and did a retreat. I showed them how to let go of these distracting thoughts and come back. They started getting very efficient at doing what they were doing and recognizing when their mind went away. They didn't pay attention to those thoughts. They let them go, they relax, they smile, they come back. Okay? All of those students, of which there was, I think there was about 35 of them, all of those students passed very easily because they started having fun with learning instead of being worrying about the end result. They stayed in the present moment more. Okay, you can go again if you want.
No, that's exactly what I was hoping you would say to me, because as far as like R&D or research and development, okay, you're taking your object, it's what you're working on, and these thoughts keep coming up, they're coming up. The reason you can't develop what you want to develop is because you're not using the full potential of your mind. So the question is, what's happening to your mind so that your mind can't develop the things you want to develop fully? They're busy. It's busy.
No, actually, I'm not talking about the distraction. I'm talking about the actual thought that you're creating for the world.
But
you don't create it.
You make up your mind when you go into work tomorrow that tomorrow is going to be fun, and you're going to have fun figuring out what you need to figure out and remind yourself, this is fun. I like doing this. Look at how efficient you become and how much easier your life becomes. That's holding a harmonious image that helps you to be creative. That's what meditation is all about. Learning how to be completely creative in the present moment. Learning how to enjoy the present moment without the drudgery, without the dissatisfaction in this life.
So that is still considered as meditation.
Of course.
It's a thought that you intentionally create. That's exactly what I understand. So meaning that you're trying to work and that
you're making up your mind not to get upset by things. Okay, I'll give you an example. My family, they're actually not very nice people. They're very hard for me to be around because they're coarse, they're cursing all the time, they're saying nasty things to try to make you angry. I had to go home, I had to be with my mother while she was dying. I was there for 6 weeks. The whole family was there for that period of time. They were trying to make me angry, and I made up my mind that it didn't matter what they said. It was okay for them to say it, but I wasn't going to bite into it. I wasn't going to get emotional with it. So I started, when they started doing that, I stopped paying attention to what they were saying. I started radiating loving kindness to them. After about 3 weeks, all of a sudden, everything changed and they started being nice. And they started actually smiling and laughing. And that's something they never did. I affected the world around me because I chose to affect it in a positive way. I chose not to take the negative path. We all have the same choice. You can take the negative path, you can take the positive path. Your choice. Which one leads to your happiness? Which one leads to your unhappiness?